and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. So we often joke, don't we? People call us influencers and that, and we brush it off and think it's all a bit of nonsense, really. But
who have we influenced now?
Well, we've influenced someone to send us a message about a first edition Range Rover Sport that's for sale.
So by first edition, we were talking about these and we said about launch colours?
The really early ones, yeah. So they were available in black, which is a bit dull, and you just got a first edition badge on the boot lid, or Vesuvius Orange, which is very not
dull. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, proper vibrant colour. And there's one for sale on Piston Heads for £9,990, and it's the Vesuvius flavour.
Okay.
For the...
It's
nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So someone's done the wheels in anthracite, which I'm not a huge fan of. They should be silver. But actually, that looks a really clean example, doesn't it?
How many miles has that got?
That has done 103,000 miles.
Hmm. But that must be a bit of dealer at that price.
Yeah, it is a dealer, I believe. Orange interior, it says. Oh, I've not looked at the interior pictures. No, it doesn't have an orange interior. That's a lie. It's got a black interior.
Okay. But don't they have orange inserts in the seats? Am I wrong?
No.
Oh, no.
No, just plain black. But it's a very, very nice thing. And if you were in the market for something a little bit special that was in the shape of a Range Rover Sport with a 4.2 supercharged V8, I would be knocking at the door and asking to go for a drive in that, because that does look very tidy.
Yeah, a bit top-endy for my liking. But
yeah,
but it is a dealer, so there's probably warranties and goodness knows what else.
Exactly, and you'd have to be fairly brave to put a warranty on a 20-year-old Range Rover Sport anyway.
That's why it's 10 grand.
That's probably why it's 10,000 quid.
They built £5,000 in, haven't they?
Yeah. I really like it, though.
Yeah,
I don't like it enough to buy it, but I really like it.
No.
So, yeah, he influenced me to go and have a look at that on the internet. So that was John Kenwell that sent that in.
Tell you what, where...
No, it wasn't. John Kenwell's the next listener's question.
Okay. I was going to say, while we're on the subject of influencing, we have influenced, we have competition in the podcast world.
Do we?
Yeah.
Whose house do I need to go around?
Harry's Land Rover Adventures.
Oh, we like Harry.
So Harry's is a young chap, probably, I don't know how old he is. 13, 14.
No, yes, it must be early teens, I would have thought.
From up north, comes through our spares days, and he was the guy that did a lovely video of the LRM live event at Malvern.
Yeah.
Door 109 was on the stand, and he pointed out the filler, didn't he?
He did point out the filler. He won't be pointing out any filler this year, though, because it's fillerless now.
So, thankfully. Yeah, him and his, I don't know if he's his mate or his brother, he's launched a podcast.
Oh, joy.
So check him out on YouTube if you're interested.
Good chap.
I think he listens to this.
I hope so. If you do, hello, Harry. How are you getting on? And good luck with your podcast, because it's fun, isn't it?
And his Series 3.
Yes. You're doing. See you at Malvern. That was John Kenwell that sent me a message about that sport, but he also emailed on the editorial at lrm.co.uk email address. He says, hello, Martin and Steve. Just wanted to drop you a quick message to say thanks for all your efforts with the relatively new podcast. It's a must listen for me on my commute into the office on a Wednesday morning.
Nice.
By chance, my commute is around an hour, so your episodes fit into my journey time perfectly. I'm fortunate to own two Land Rovers and a third on the way. See, I think three still is the magic number.
Yeah, it is.
He says, my project is a 1977 Series 3 88-inch. I bought it a few years ago and have treated it as a rolling restoration, gradually working through any mechanical issues, whilst also tackling the main job of repainting from green back to its original marine blue. It's been upgraded, if you can call it that, to a 2.5 NA diesel before my ownership. What a fine power plant.
That's not a bad upgrade in the series. I've had one.
Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, no.
It's just slate the 2.5 every opportunity.
Yeah, but I had one in my 109. It was really nice.
Okay.
I mean, not really nice, but I mean, just it's better than a 2.25 diesel.
Yeah.
It's a step up.
So is walking.
Yeah. Anyway, talking about diesels, should we finish this one first?
Sorry. Get on to the discovery I've made in a bit.
I can't wait to talk about your naturally aspirated...
we can both talk about coolant, can't we?
Oh, no, go on.
Anyway, whilst it's not everyone's cup of tea, it's proven to be very reliable, and while it takes a while to get anywhere, it always gets us there. I've included a couple of photos enjoying the recent snow in the Peak District. My second Land Rover, all right at the other end of the scale here, is a late 2014 Defender 90, my pride and joy. I've owned this for coming up for 2 years and I bought the best I could with low mileage, approximately 18,500 miles when I bought it. During the time I've owned it, I've treated it to a full service, chassis protection, stainless steel exhaust, Bilstein shocks, and a Fox steering damper.
Nice.
I've also changed the boost alloys to colour-coded Wolf wheels. We were talking about that. And BF Goodrich all-terrains, which have completely changed the look of the Defender for the better. Yeah.
Wheels
and tyres again.
It's the number one.
We're going to have to revisit that soon because I've had a lot of questions about wheels and tyres. If funds allow in the future, I'd love to do a 3-litre BMW diesel conversion, which will further transform it. A couple more photos are attached. Our third Land Rover on its way is a Discovery Sport as our family car. I've always liked the Discovery Sport, and while it may not be as special as some Land Rovers, I think it will make an excellent daily driver, especially as the 7 seats will be great to fit my young son and all his friends in. I've not picked it up yet, but I'll let you know how I get on with it. Finally, as a footnote, over the last few weeks, I've seen so many Freelander 2s around. I wonder if people have them stashed away and then bring them out when the weather takes a turn for the worse. Anyway, that's enough rambling. Keep up the excellent work. All the best, John. And he's put some pictures on.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
That looks really good with the Wolf wheels. So yeah, it's a grey Defender with grey, matching grey, Chorus grey, I would say, Wolf wheels. That looks really smart.
Mm.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for getting in touch, John, and thanks for the link to the Range Rover Sport as well. Quite interesting to have a look at.
I just hope the Discovery Sport is buying his...
either a 2015 model or a post-2020. That's the sweet spot, apparently.
The ones in between.
Not so sweet, unless they've had a replacement engine already. But...
good point.
Yeah, very nice. I still maintain that 3 Land Rovers is the perfect number.
He's got a really nice mix there.
Yeah, so he's got a bit of classic motoring with his series, and then he's got, you know, usable daily with the Defender, and obviously adding a 7-seat option family car with the Disco Sport.
Very good.
Very nice indeed. So, yes, going off track a little bit here, coolant.
We've both got coolant issues.
It's been a coolanty week for us, hasn't it?
So on last week's podcast, we mentioned I pulled up in my Jag XK next to you and your Freelander 2. You got out of your Freelander 2 and said, I can smell coolant. Me being a little bit smug thought, it's not me, must be your Freelander 2.
Yeah.
But then on Friday, when I turned up to your house to do some YouTube,
yes,
you smelled coolant again, and I was in the Jag. And it's dropping coolant.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it squeaky bum time?
It's the good news is it's not losing it at a huge rate, at a fast rate, but it's definitely coming out somewhere.
It's fast enough for my liking.
Yeah.
So back from your house is about an hour, and it lost about a mugful, I would say.
Yeah, it's going somewhere.
Yeah, it is going somewhere. But I still got a bit of a cold 2 weeks in, so I can't smell the coolant.
Yeah, I could definitely smell it when you...
Yeah, no, it's going somewhere. So investigation time.
The good news is, because you can smell it, it's going to be an external leak. It's almost certainly an external leak.
Yes, not head gasket.
Rather than burning it, which would be bad.
No, it's not.
It's definitely not.
It's not yet. Well, no, it's not.
No.
I mean, just...
Joe, I'll get you some K-Seal for your birthday.
Yeah. Anyone want to buy a Jag? Hello.
No, put in the subject line, I want Stephen's broken XK.
I was tentatively, right? So I've owned it 2 years and I haven't actually put it on social. I think I put it on Instagram the other day, actually, because it passes on my T.
If you want to follow Steve, he's Steve Miller Automotive with underscores in it.
Yeah, Steve _ Miller _ Automotive. Yeah. So I did put a picture of the Jag on there. It currently passes MOT. I do love it. It's one of those cars I've always wanted one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, but it's like a contrast of driving a 90, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like one or the other.
And
I enjoy them both in equal measures. But I was thinking about getting rid of it, but every time I drive, I go, oh, I think I might keep it a bit longer.
Job to know.
So I'm clearly not bored with it yet.
No.
So I was going to keep it.
There's that automotive yin and yang again, isn't it? You've got like your Defender 90, which is still nice. It's still got the sound deadening in it, and nice enough drive, new suspension, whatever. But then, it's going to be slightly different to a V8 powered Jag, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Although they both use a similar amount of fuel.
Really?
Yeah, on a run.
Yeah.
The Jag does guzzle it around town. I mean, seriously bad.
It is a nice car, though. I do like it.
Yeah.
My coolant adventures were led to me.
I mean, I did chuckle a little bit.
So my 110, my recently purchased 1985 110, my mate's coming over to do the welding on it on Saturday. because he's a much, much better welder than me. He does it for a living, so I trust him far more to weld on outriggers and things like that than I trust myself. So I set about stripping the bulkhead down because it needs footwells, and included in that was taking the heater box off. So you've got two coolant lines that go to the heater box onto the heater matrix. And when I took them off, expecting to see beautiful, crystal clear, blue, antifreeze laden coolant. No,
it was never are. They all look like river water.
It was like rusty, rusty brown stained water with what looks like, if you've ever seen someone who's put K-seal or steel seal in an engine, it's got like...
Is it like glittery?
Yeah, it's like little tiny bits of copper.
Yes, yeah.
I'm fairly sure there was some of that in it as well.
So if you want to check out, our listeners want to check out YouTube if you haven't already. So we did the buying guide for the issue or for that vehicle on there, the episode, shall I say. And then we did a clearing out the back. And if you recall, there was lots of coolant bottles, wasn't there? So your suspicions were slightly raised.
I thought maybe it's got a little leak somewhere and he's just had to top it up now and again.
There's a reason that came off the road 10 years ago.
But now I'm thinking, okay, well, there's not a hint of antifreeze in the coolant. So not only has it been topped up with straight water, it's then sat for 10 years, probably through frosts with straight water in it, which won't have done anything any good.
Hmm. I suppose that hasn't blown out core plugs and things like that. But then you haven't got it warm yet, have you? Not really.
No, I haven't got it up to temperature yet. I think if it had blown a core plug out, it still would have shown up by now.
Probably would have done.
But I'm going to flush everything. I'm going to flush the rad and the heater matrix and all the as many passages in the engine as I can with a hose pipe, and then put some actual antifreeze in it and see what it does.
Yeah. But they're not difficult to work on, are they? Those engines?
No. Even if it needs a head gasket, especially with the wings off, that's like a couple of hours.
I'm telling you now, TDI it. And you will never look
back. Steve, I missed out on a bargain of a 200 TDI. Right. Engine, gearbox, rad pack, all the pipework, full exhaust system, and it was on eBay and it wasn't much money and I should have just bought it.
Well, we said last week the value of an original 200 TDI, they're fetching strong money.
Especially a Defender one, with the
Defender one.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
But you see, you did this before, didn't you, with that stubby gearbox and...
I know, but...
You can't buy everything.
No, that's it, isn't it? And before you know it, you're in too deep type thing. I'm still at the point where if I did decide to sell the 110, I'd easily get my money back, might even make a few quid. But if I put a TDI in it, I don't think it would add that much to the value.
See what you'd have to commit to owning it and then using it.
Yeah, which I hope to do, but...
Yeah, it's an nice old bus.
You can only drive one at a time. Oh, I tell you what, it's an even nicer old bus now. I spent about 2 hours cleaning the... prepped and scrubbed all the door cards and the dash top and all the vinyl.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Oh, it has come up a treat.
Has it?
Yeah, it looks really, really good.
Interiors of Land Rovers often get overlooked, don't they?
They really do.
Working vehicles, and then you don't clean them.
Because there's so many little gaps and things like that, they get dusty, but they get dusty over a period of time, and you don't notice how dirty they are until you, like I say, I use this stuff called elbow grease. You can get it from B&M and discount shops like that, and it's really powerful, but really, really good. Squirt that all over, get a nail brush and agitate it, and then wipe it down with clean water. And even doing that makes it come up really nice and black. But then a bit of auto-glim vinyl care on it.
I've got some of that.
It's like new.
That's good stuff, that.
It's like new. Mm. Yeah, it really is. Did all the clocks, all the little grooves around the speed.
Makes a difference, doesn't it? It's a bit like putting new number plates on something. It just, bing, lifts it. Just lifts it,
Lifts it straight away, yeah. No, I was really, really pleased with that.
Nice.
So, welding on Saturday. I need to order some paint. I need to get on Paint Man and order some marine blue for the footwells.
Yeah, do them. Yeah.
Because I want it to look
nice. What are you going to buy? Brush on paint?
I might buy aerosols.
You have to buy like a minimum of 6, I think.
Oh, really?
In the aerosol form, yeah. Yeah, you do, yeah.
Okay. Maybe so I will buy
it. It's quite a significant spend if you want. Yeah.
Just one. Maybe I will buy a tin of brush paint then.
You could put it through your compressor.
Yeah, it could do, actually. Yeah. Good shout. Anyway, I'm looking forward to. Because we did a few jobs, didn't we, on Friday? That's why you were over, Mark.
Of course, come over to yours. It was a good day.
We did, yeah.
It's always cold at your house.
Yeah, it's because there's no shelter. You're just in the middle under the cold, cold skies of the fen.
It's fen-like cold.
Yes, but at least it wasn't windy, because when it's windy, it's really bad. But we knocked out a few nice little jobs on that, didn't we? We've got brakes, front dampers, alternator. We've got it charging properly now.
That's right, yeah.
A few other little bits. So, yeah, she's coming on nicely. I think that'll be ready for MOT in a couple of weeks. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. As long as the MOT...
As long as it makes it there.
Without... If it's not too far away. Just, it's up to temperature, mate. Yes, mate. Truly up to temperature, yeah.
Pistons are becoming a liquid inside.
Most MOT Land Rovers, not kettles. Just like completely boiling its arse off.
No, it'd be good. I'm looking forward to trundling around in that as long as it... like I say, even if it does need a head gasket, it's not a big job, especially on an on-turbo, because everything's staring at you in the face.
Yeah, and I think it's just a slight recommissioning, fix the engine, crack on.
Yeah, I think so. That'll be good. Right, we've had another. This is a very important email. This is possibly one of the hottest questions we've ever been asked on the podcast.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Hit me with it.
Are you braced?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Reese. This comes from Reese. He says, "Hi, fellas. Absolutely loving the podcast." Good on you, Reese.
Yeah, thanks, Reese.
"I'm 21, saving up for my first Land Rover." He says, "I should have it by August. After growing up in a Discovery 2, my heart is drawn to them. I did try to find the one I grew up in, but no luck. Still doing research and keeping an eye on the usual selling sites. My watch list is getting a bit long." Well, I think Disco 2 is a good shout if you can afford to insure one, because I think they're a bit spendier than Defenders, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Reese has had any insurance quotes. So check out Agent Flux, this podcast sponsor. They should be able to look after you, but yeah. He might struggle. I'm not sure.
To be honest with you, it's been a long time since I checked. And people are, no, I think you can insure them younger now, because for a long time you didn't have a chance if you were like under 21. Oh, he is 21.
Well, yeah, but then it changed. Anyway, ring Adrian Flux, give him your details, find out. He's probably done all that.
See what they can do. Anyway, we're getting to the crux of the question now. He says it's brought on a different problem.
Okay.
"My girlfriend has put me on a Land Rover ban. I can't look at them or talk about them when I'm with her."
Okay.
"Any ideas on how I can get her more interested in them? Keep up the great work, guys. Absolutely loving it."
I have an answer.
Go on.
The answer is no. There is no way of
do you think?
Getting her into it.
Okay.
Change your girlfriend.
I don't know if that would be...
Is that not an option?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Reese.
Or his girlfriend.
Do you reckon Reese?
Imagine if they're both listening to this right now.
Yeah, if she hates Land Rovers, listen, as much as she says he does.
I'm sure she's lovely, but you cannot possibly own a Land Rover and never talk about them.
No.
It's going to break down.
Mm.
Likelihood is he's going to be fixing it the weekends. He's probably...
Oh, he will
be
fixing it.
He's going to be modifying it.
Yeah.
Basically, you need to get her involved.
Yeah. I would say, do you know what? If he says he's going to have it by May,
August,
chuck some. Oh, did he say August?
August,
yeah, I had May in my head.
By August, yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
Well, what are you going to say?
Bring her to LRM Live.
Bring her anyway.
Yeah. Come, you know, if you've got another car, come in that. No one will bat an eyelid. It's fine. Get her involved in that. Come and have a few beers. Enjoy some
music. The social scene is where it's at, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So she'll come away a convert, won't she?
Yeah,
she'll be all about it, and she'll be looking for one of her own.
Yeah.
Talking of, Dan Dew, who we had on the podcast a few weeks ago, he's just bought his daughter a beautiful Monte Carlo blue Disco 2.
Oh, right.
I showed you.
Yes.
Really, really smart.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, it's cool to see that younger people are getting into them, especially at that age. Like that era of vehicle, just like, yes.
Yeah, you're going to... Yeah, you need to keep hold of your girlfriend. You definitely need to get her
on side. Yeah. There must be a way.
I might have told you a story, right? So I went out on a date years ago before I was married. Obviously,
I was going to say, I hope so.
2 years ago now, I had a Discovery 1.
Okay.
Do you remember the sticker, the wave would be waved at sticker?
I remember.
So that was in the top left of the windscreen. Anyway, picked this girl up for a date. Went out for dinner, and. I think I picked her up. I can't remember. Anyway, as we were driving along, it was dark, and as the streetlights were going past, she could read the sticker from behind. She goes, "What does that say? Wave and be waved at. She goes, "What's that mean?" I said, "Oh, well, Land Rover people wave at each other, and it was a thing that LRM did." She goes, "Oh, my God, how sad." Right?
Get out of it.
That was the last date we went on.
I was going to say, yeah, that door open.
I mean, she's a nice enough old girl. You're trying. I was like, yeah, see you, love.
It's just not the word.
It was sad.
It's not me, it's you. Bye.
Yeah. Have you used that line? I use that line.
No.
It's not me, it's you.
It's not me, it's you.
It's not you, it's me.
Does it work?
Well, I didn't see her again.
I was going to say, yeah, if you've used it, you're unlikely to ever see her again, aren't you?
But, so,
well, Reese, what can we say? There you go. Take her on, do like a weekend away or something, pack it up and go off, go to the lakes or go, I don't know where you live, but go somewhere scenic, make the Land Rover a part of it, but don't make it all about the Land Rover. And then she'll associate that good memory with the car and then you won't be able to get rid of it. Yes.
Yeah, I like your style.
Yes.
Come here for more top tip dating
and more relationship advice. Yeah.
Do not listen to us.
No,
honestly,
no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah,
he does finish his email by saying, "P.S. Land Rovers and vintage tractors belong together. Having grown up with both, I can confirm. Currently own the tractor, just need the Land Rover to tow it to shows." There you go. Steam rallies, vintage rallies, ploughing matches.
I wonder if Reese is from like farming background.
I don't know, but he sounds like a good old boy. Oh, he says he's in West Yorkshire, so he's got loads of lovely countryside on his doorstep to go and explore.
Yeah, go and explore in it. There you go.
There's your answer, Reese. Thank you for getting in touch. Much appreciated. Have you got any project development, Steve, or are things sort of plateaued for the moment?
Yes, well, by the time this podcast goes out, I will have picked up my new bulkhead.
Exciting. We're going on a visit. We're going on a day trip, aren't we?
We are. We're going to nip up, aren't we, to Richard Chassis, pick up the DDS bulkhead. So I've opted for the E-coated one. So we'll probably put that on YouTube, actually, just to, on socials and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited to have that.
It'll be wicked. I'm excited for you to have it. I'm excited to see it, actually.
Yeah. It should be really good.
The last time I saw a fresh bulkhead that... brand new, was when we did the LRO 19 many years ago.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Kind of like, I've kind of settled on a colour, but I'm not going to give it away.
Ooh, I know what the colour is.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it away because I might change my mind. But I'm pretty convinced. But I'm going to go and get a spray can of it or something, spray something up.
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like. The colour is from the very, very late 60s.
Okay.
On a car that was made in Germany. There you go. There's your top clue.
Or if you can guess what Steve's chosen,
yeah.
Editorial at lrm.co.uk.
There's one on Instagram in a Series 3 that's been done in the same colour.
You're giving too many clues away.
Yeah,
now.
But with the galvanised cappings, that is going to be...
That's what really makes it, I think. Once you've chosen any really nice flat colour, putting it against really bright galvanised is just... sets it off beautifully.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely not a metallic colour. It's a flat colour.
Have you decided what you're doing about wheels yet?
I've got some Goodyear tyres on there at the moment on black modulars.
The Wolf wheels.
Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf, yeah.
Sorry. And I don't think the colour that I've chosen, the wheels should match the colour.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
So I do need to think about that.
I
haven't chosen
that would,
but I've got really good. I mean, they're Goodyear all terrains at the moment.
Yeah,
on that vehicle. But I mean, they're probably getting on, but they haven't been out on the road for a few years, have they?
At least they've been kept in the dark.
They have been kept in the dark, and
so the UV won't have broken them down.
No, they're right.
And they've got plenty of tread on them because you've never driven it.
No, I have. But anyway, that's going to go. Yeah, it's spending money now. It's all getting a bit spendy.
All getting a bit expensive.
My stuff is back from the galvanizers, but I'm picking it up from All About Land Rovers, who goes to all our spares days.
Oh,
driving
yes.
a massive motorhome,
yes.
Paul Darlow. He's got all the stuff from the galvanizers, so I've sent off my stuff and galvanized, and I've also part exchanged some bits with him.
Okay.
So, my bumper comes back. So I'm picking that up at the Newbury Spares Day on the 6th of April.
Good stuff.
From him.
That'll be a good day. I'm looking forward to Newbury.
I do need to get the spanners out, though. I mean, really.
But
because I'm buying all this stuff, but I now need to fit it.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, because once your tub is back...
Yeah, no development yet on that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
We want to dry fit everything up first before we... paint before you send it all to paint, because then you're not risking chipping stuff.
I can't risk it because paint's going to be expensive, I think.
Yeah. like you say, it's getting all the bits together, and it can look quite daunting when you stood at the top of it and you've got all these parts around you and you're like, oh. But it'll be good progress. It'll be decent, fairly rapid progress once we get started again.
Yeah, definitely. But another message, didn't we? Yes, so you had a message yesterday from somebody just saying, oh, 2-0. Like, are you winning? Was that 2-0 or something?
It was, there it is. Tom Bayford, who I chat with occasionally on Instagram, is a funny chap. He replied to my story. I did a little walk around of the 110's bulkhead, saying there's a few too many speed holes in it for my liking, and showing all the rust. I'm Land Rover Martin on Instagram if you want to follow my account. He says the race is on to see who's going to finish their project first, Steve or Martin. To which I replied, hold my beer, but you've got a lot more work to do than I have.
I have, and yeah.
But then
yours is a lot further ahead, isn't it? Because it's still
a complete vehicle. Yeah, mine's a fixer-upper, not a complete rebuild. And he said, well, you've already completed the Series 3, so you're going to be 2-0 at this rate. He does have a point.
He does. Can't argue with that. But, you know, I hate losing. So now all of a sudden, what? I can't win that race because I've already won.
It would be silly to rush it anyway.
No, I'm not going to rush
it. Plus, it's going to be me doing most of the work, so I can't beat myself, can I?
Yeah, and also, like, this is real money. So it's like, it's still... You know, I'm not made of money.
Yeah, it is expensive, but don't forget.
Bits have gone up.
Everything has, hasn't it?
I mean, it has. Everything's gone up, but they're no longer. You can't just whack a Land Rover together now, can you? They have to be done to a certain.
Yeah.
It feels to me like you have to do it for
Well, that said, I think it really, there's such a. This is another great thing about Land Rovers compared to like a monocoque bodied, normal, in quotation marks, car. There's such a scope of, like, the 110 I've got, for instance, I'm literally doing what that needs to go back on the road. I'm doing safety critical stuff, like brakes and all the perishables, like brake lines and clutch cylinders and stuff like that. But you could buy something and make it good again, good enough, or you can go to that, like, total, basically, new vehicle, which is what you're doing. But there's and everything in between. That's what's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've still whacked the engine and gearbox in there, and it doesn't look like it's just been rebuilt because it hasn't. It's still a bit oily and.
Does need a second blast of the pressure washer, really, doesn't it?
To be honest with you, I need to crack on. But good news is we're heading towards the right time of year.
Yes.
I mean, this time last year, I was busy every evening doing my camping trailer ready for LRM life.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of like. Usable.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, there's still things that need to be done to it, but I've still got some evenings. Mm. Weekends are really precious at the minute.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
You know, the time goes really fast.
I'll tell you what, actually, talking of the weather getting better, I've flushed out that 110. The chassis was packed full of mud and what I think was cow poo because it absolutely stunk. I flushed it out with a hose pipe and I got loads of mud out of it. Still got to do a bit more, but I don't know what to treat it with rust-wise, rust-proof, rust treatment-wise, because there's so many different options now. Like years ago, you just chuck wax oil on it and call it a day, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would, yeah.
But now you've got wax oil still out there. You've got like the lanolin-based stuff. You've got chassis paint. You've got all the good stuff Dinatrol do. There's loads of different options.
See, I had my 90 Dinatrol about this time last year, I think.
Yeah, that would be about right.
It looks really good.
It still looks good.
Oh, yeah. Looks like it was done yesterday.
Yeah, so...
And that was like two layers of stuff, wasn't it? It's got...
Well, they use four different types of stuff on there. So there's the...
Oh, yeah, you've got the de-rusting neutralizer stuff.
The neutralizer, the stone chip guard protection stuff, the actual waxy stuff.
The cavity wax stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's like your general... I might go down that.
Yeah, no, it's really good. You could do it at home with your stuff. Just put a big sheet down on the driveway.
Yeah.
Have you got one? I've got a massive sheet.
I might take you up on that. I have got one, but I don't think it's big enough to park the 110.
Yeah, I've got one big enough for the...
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Lay underneath there and just clean it all and...
I'll tell you what, you can tell I've rebuilt a Land Rover on my driveway already. The number of cut-off bolts and washers and clips and stuff.
You need like a big magnet on a string and go over the ground...
I do, actually.
And it picks it all up. There's all sorts of dogs and things around.
Yeah, there's sharp bits of rust everywhere as well. I need to pick up with just rake it all into
gravel driveways. Are just...
They're a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, they are.
But anyway, talking about tyres, you mentioned your Goodyears.
Oh, yeah.
Another lesson. We've got some listeners' questions in today.
They're flying in.
Dear Stephen Martin, second time mailer, second time mailer even, just wondered if you had more tyre chat in you both. I could talk about tyres till the cows come home.
We've always got tyre chat, haven't we?
I need to decide on what tyres I'm going to put on the 110. Anyway, he says, my 90's currently on Goodyear Wranglers, which I like the look of, and they do perform well off-road, but I think the road noise is quite loud. I'm guessing he's probably got Wrangler MTRs then, which are the mud tyre.
Yeah, because my Goodyear Wranglers that I've got don't make too much noise on the road.
ATRs, I think. Yours are the all-terrain, aren't they?
All-terrains, yeah. Good off-road, though.
Yeah, they're quite chunky for all-terrain, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't want to sort of say, you know, the other brand that I've got on my other 90, I know which one I would choose to go more off-road, let's put it that way.
Yeah, sure. But they're very different ends of the all-terrain spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he goes on to say, I don't fancy putting BF Goodrich KO2s on, as I've used them a lot in the past and find them terrifying in the wet. I've aquaplaned and nearly slid into a busy crossroads on those tyres. That's unusual because...
They're normally pretty good, aren't they?
I've not had a bad experience with KO2s, but, you know...
Could be how fast as that.
Yeah. Well, you skid straight across the crossroads on them. Anyway, I've read up on the KO3s. Yes, this is exciting. The new BF Goodrich KO3 is fresh on sale, I believe, in the UK now. But they're only available in a couple of sizes, and apparently they have addressed the wet road issues. But yes, not available in many sizes in the UK yet. Any recommendations would be great. Low road noise, but with decent off-road capability. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. All the best. Tad. What do you reckon then? Low noise, but decent off-road.
Don't know. I have to say, I don't know, because if there's a lot of... Most people have mud terrains when they don't really need them.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I have to say, they've got noisier in the time I've had them on, but then that's fairly typical for a mud tyre. Like, people fit them and go, oh, they're ever so quiet. It's because they're not worn in yet. As soon as they get worn in, then they start making more noise. Toyo, open country mud terrains, I'm very impressed with. I've got on my Series 3.
Okay.
But... I don't know, because Toyo have sort of come out of the UK market, I think.
Yeah, I think they've left Europe or something.
It's a bit of a shame, because the mud tyres are really good. What else could you go for?
Well, Devante.
They've brought out a mud
tyre. They've brought out a mud terrain, but we're yet to test it.
Yeah, I can't say I've had any dealings with the mud tyre.
I've got their, I mean, we say about the other brand, I mean, I've got Devante on my 90, the Territorial all-terrains, and whilst they're not the most aggressive all-terrain.
Yeah.
They're absolutely perfect for what that 90 does.
They kind of remind me of the old General Grabber, I think they were called the TR, which was like the, it was OEM fitment on like TD5 era Defender.
Okay.
They look very similar. The tread blocks look similar and they were a great tyre, but again, I think they're discontinued now. What could you go with that was low road noise but decent? Well, first, you're definitely looking at an all-terrain rather than a mud terrain.
Yeah, all muds. I mean, what tyres have you got in your Freelander 2? Because when I've been in yours, it feels quite noisy.
They're BF Goodrich trail terrain, which sit one below the all-terrain, so they're even less aggressive.
They seem quite noisy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just used to it.
Or is it one big wheel bearing?
No, it's all had new wheel bearings and rear diff, so it shouldn't be that.
I think the tyre noise, if you've got a quiet car, like a Freelander 2,
yeah.
The tyres you pick up a lot more.
I would say I've also got a set of Territoras, actually. The Territora SUV HT, I think it is. Like, they're all-season tyre.
I know.
And you do fit them after the... Like, I switch in between, depending on what season it is and what I'm doing with the car, but they are silent. Because they're a proper dedicated road tyre, they are like completely silent. Mm. And you do get better fuel economy out of them. What would I go for if I was in... I've heard good things about the Falcon Wild Peak all-terrain, but I've never tried them firsthand. I'll tell you what, Tad, email us again with a bit more detail and I will put word out, because I know Neil Watterson, Land Rover Life Editor, he's got quite a few different tyres. He's tried loads more tyres than I have. I'll put it to him and he might have a bit more of an opinion. Or if any listeners out there have found the perfect blend of off-roadability and also low road noise, drop us an email, editorial@lrm.co.uk, and we'll put the we'll see what you've got to say about it. Because it's a really hotly contested, like, it's a hot topic, isn't it?
It is a hot topic. I don't test enough tyres at all. to be qualified to give an answer, I have to say.
Mm, yeah.
I like old school tyres and things.
I really want a set of general super all grips for the 110.
For the 110?
In 750, because it's non-power steering.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to go to a wider tyre. I want the real skinny 750s.
Yeah, it helps. Massive difference.
On white tubeless defender wheels, so it looks completely standard. That is exactly what I want. I just need to find somewhere that sells them at a reasonable price.
So if anyone's got some,
yeah,
email Martin.
Yeah, but we'll see.
You're ever spending money, that's the trouble.
Yeah, well, it's Land Rover life, isn't it?
Mm.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Exciting times. There's a new issue of Land Rover Monthly on sale. It goes on sale today.
If you listen to this when it comes out. Yeah.
If you listen
to this.
I would
say that.
Yeah, on the Wednesday that it came out
at
6 o'clock in the morning. Then head to your local retail outlet, supermarket, newsagent, whatever, and grab yourself a copy of the May issue of Land Rover Monthly.
But you know what people need to do?
What's that?
Subscribe.
It would make sense because then you don't
have to... It saves money and it gets delivered to your door before the Wednesday.
Yeah. What's not to like?
Yeah.
Well, it's the obvious choice in my opinion. So, should we have feature of the week?
I haven't even looked at this issue yet.
Steve, you're supposed to know it intricately.
No, I don't know.
Well, this will be as much of a feature of the
week. The front cover was a real surprise. I was like, oh, I should know this. Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I feel let down.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
So, feature of the week. This is one of the main cover features, and it is 20 must-do adventures for you and your Land Rover. So it doesn't matter how much money you've got to spend. Reese could do
mate,
this,
Reese needs
he?
To pick this magazine right up.
Yeah.
Drop it in front of his girlfriend and say,
where do you want to go?
We're going to do all of these if I'm allowed to talk about my Land Rover again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly valid.
Yeah.
So, so 20 must-do Land Rover adventures. We put this together. We always talk about doing different trips and adventures and things like that. And I thought, do you know what? It's been a little while since we put together a decent list of stuff that is attainable, that you can pack up for, book a bit of time off work and just have a few nice days away in your Land Rover from like a weekend to something a lot more like a proper overland trip. Totally up to you.
Okay.
So that's what we've geared this around. So we've got everything from nipping to the coast for a day out, to get some fish and chips or do a bit of fishing or kayaking or whatever you're into. So from that, we've got things like visiting Solihull. We've got going to Red Wharf Bay to obviously see where the things, everything kicked off. Dunsfold, great little rundown on that. Green laning, camping at shows, all the way through to like, you know, going to Morocco or entering in motorsport, stuff like that. So...
Oh, right. It's something for everybody, though.
All-encompassing, for all budgets, for all ages. We hope you find something in there that you will enjoy and you can get it in the diary and look forward to it.
That sounds like a plan.
Just like we're
I might have to read that tonight.
Yeah.
But hey.
Please do.
Yeah. Because I'm a subscriber, I get mine earlier. Yeah.
You'll already have it.
That, you know, that's really hot off the press.
It is. It's
that's
warm
literally
for the
just
touch.
Just come off.
It dropped on our desk as we were making a move to do the podcast, did it not? So, yeah, I would 100% grab a copy of the May issue of Land Rover Monthly. And hopefully, I mean, obviously, as well as this feature of the week, tons of other fantastic Land Rover content.
So this is going to crap then?
No, I was going to say cracking.
Oh, I thought a lot more cut. That's bad, isn't it? See?
Yeah, including... personal favourite of mine, which is the last police L322 off the line ever used on the UK police force, has been saved by someone who was in the police force, which is pretty cool. So yeah, Gary did a cracking job on that, but we'll save that for another feature of the week. little teaser there. So yeah, I won 100%. Grab a copy. Oh, should we have product of the week?
Surprise me.
Product of the week. We are going for... Oh, yeah, we were just talking about wheels, weren't we? This is a different type of wheel. This is 22-inch wheels for the Defender L663. And what they are is an homage to the steel 18-inch wheel, which was offered as a an option on the, 19 and 110.
Which an option? Isn't the steel wheel like base spec?
Depends what model you choose. Right, I was talking about this the other day when I was on the Opta launch with one of the other... Steve's jealous because...
Yeah, I am a little bit jealous.
Yeah, I could bang on about
it. Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I was talking to one of the other journalists, press guys there, and we were talking about how complicated the model and engine, like powertrain options are in Land Rovers.
Because
there's a lot of them, but you can only have certain things with certain engines and certain styles and certain packs, and it's like really, really complicated. If you go on the configurator on the Land Rover website, it's baffling.
I haven't been on for a while. The last time I went on there, I spent about 88,000 quid.
Yeah, it's easy to do, isn't it?
Really easy.
I remember when the new Defender first came out, and I spent ages on there tricking like different packs and mud flaps and different wheels and colour combinations. And yeah, it's very easy to spend some proper money, isn't it? In your head.
Anyway. In your head, yeah. So get me right. So these wheels are 20-inch version of the 18s.
Not just 20-inch, Steve. They're 22-inch.
They're 22, sorry.
Yes.
But, right, I get you. Yeah.
These are called the British Heritage RS Forged Alloy Wheel. They are lighter and stronger than conventional alloys, which die cast, which means they pour liquid into a mould. They're available in... They're 9-inch wide by 22-inch, so they're big old things. Yeah, they're going to fill your wheel arches out a treat. And they echo the classic aesthetic of steel wheels while reducing the vehicle's unsprung weight, which means you get better ride quality and handling. So less unsprung weight, basically... Everything behaves nicer because all the weight of the vehicle is suspended.
Okay, I understand.
Science. And they are available from the Chelsea Truck Company, chelseatruckcompany.com, and they are 3,300 quid for a set of four. So I don't think I'll be getting them, but they do look pretty cool, to be fair, against
strong the money.
Green. But yeah, they've got a... Normally...
So Chelsea Truck Company is obviously their brand within Khan Design, isn't it? And some of the stuff he does is... been fairly controversial.
Polarising, I would say.
Yeah. I remember do you remember when the wide body kit came out for the old school Defender?
I do remember.
Yeah. So I had to drive one. I had to look after one at the Billing Land Rover show when it was on the old
Billing Aquadrome. Yeah.
I've never been photographed so much driving a Land Rover before. People were stepping out in front of me to take pictures because I'd never seen it before. I forget how many thousands of pounds the kit was.
Yeah.
But it was like, lots of people have copied it and done it since. But this thing was like,
it's
a lot of money.
Very distinctive.
It was like a 110 double cab with this wide body on it.
Yeah.
It's not to everyone's taste.
There's one, there's a 90 that drives around near sort of where I used to live, and it doesn't have the wide kit on it, but it's got a few Chelsea Truck Company bits on it. It's got the wheel cover, and it's got like a different grille with like yellow inserts. And the first couple of times I saw it, I thought, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I know that.
But actually, on a grey car with like darker wheels, I actually quite like it.
Okay.
Perhaps
you're a Khan Design customer.
I don't think I am. I don't think I could ever afford to be. Maybe I should get a wide body kit for the 110.
They've done some weird and wonderful creations.
Be the first ever 2.5 naturally aspirated wide body Defender.
No,
it's a silly idea. I think I'll stick with the general super all grips and the standard look.
Yeah, definitely. Thought you were going to get a roof rack. Did you not think about that?
Yeah, I might get like a galvanised roof rack.
On an old brown church.
Real old style box section galv roof rack. I haven't made any further moves towards getting one, but I might do.
They're often for sale at our Spez days.
They are, yeah.
Quite more often than not, you'll find one.
My mate just bought one, actually, for his 88-inch Series 3. Got the roof rack and ladder. I think he paid like 70 quid for it.
Yeah, cheap as chips.
Yeah, really useful.
Tell you what's really good on them is, you know, when you put the 90 rack on a 110, so you don't have the whole, it's not full length.
So I did that when I had mine 110 when I was about well, would I have been 18, 19? And it looked really awkward.
I mean,
it looked like it was obviously a 90 rack on a 110, and I wasn't very happy with it.
Oh, okay.
But I got that rack. I got the roof rack for free, so I was going to.
Yeah, they're normally fairly well priced at the spares days.
But they do. I used to take
very camel trophy, isn't it?
It is quite camel trophy.
Yeah, it's very camel trophy.
Talking of, I took the plunge the other day and I bought a copy of Nick Dimbleby's Camel Trophy book, the collector's edition,
nice.
No less. I am addicted to it.
Oh, really? That good?
Any spare 15 minutes, that is me gone.
It's a big old read, isn't it?
It is. It's a great read. And it's one of those books that you don't find yourself flicking forward pages to get to an interesting bit. It is all fantastic. If you haven't already got a copy, for crying out loud, I think Porter Press sell them, and you can get them through Nick's website as well. Buy a copy. It is awesome.
So I don't mind, like, you know, when a book is quite expensive, but you see where...
the money's gone. Yeah, 100%.
And the paper and the content. Oh, a bit like LRM, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is it, isn't it? Yeah, LRM sadly doesn't come in a lovely cardboard presentation case like Nick's book does.
It could.
It should do.
No, but, I mean, it could if you pay us enough money. if there's something that people want, we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the binders? Did you?
LRM, back in the, yeah.
Do you remember, did LRM used to do binders?
Yeah, long time ago. So you'd have to, you'd buy it, wouldn't you? And you'd have like the LRM binder, you put a full year's worth in.
Yes, in that's, one, it, yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a proper blast from the past.
Does anyone keep magazines? I know people are going to say,
yeah,
I've
they
got
do.
Every single magazine, but binders, that's the way forward.
That's what I've been meaning to ask, actually. If you think you'd like to hear us doing some retrospectives, a little flick through old magazines on the podcast, like from the early days of LRM, give us a shout, because we've got all the first 10 to 12 copies, haven't we?
We have, in a secret stash somewhere in
a secret location.
But yeah, hopefully people say yes, because I want to do it.
I really want to do it. I've been meaning to.
Do you know what? I think we should do anyway.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we can
do
it for YouTube,
can't we? We can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, the first, start with the first issue.
That's a good idea.
Listen to us. You know you're going to go to the classifieds and go, Alma?
Yeah, that's it. There'll be like a V8 factory V8 90 county for like $2,000, and we'll be like, oh, all sad.
Yeah, if we could just go back. Yeah, no, let's. Should we just do that anyway?
Yeah, let's do it.
I really want to do it.
Hashtag content creation.
Hashtag influencers. Will it influence you to wish you'd spent your money years ago?
Have a day off. But yeah. No, it'd be good. I'm excited about that. Because, like, especially one of my favourite things about old magazines is when you look at the adverts.
That's, yeah.
For and me, there's like, do you remember one of them that sticks out in my mind is, I can't remember if it was an old LRM or an old LRO, but it was like a bull bar that you'd buy for the front of your Defender. But it had a hinge, so it would go flat and you could put bales on the front. Have you seen that?
That's a really good idea.
Have you seen it? It's like a almost like a Camel Trophy bull bar, like a totally flat. I can't remember who made it.
Do you know, I haven't, but I think it's a really good idea.
I bet we'll find it if we go get those early issues of LRM. And yeah, it just folds completely flat, so you can wash the front of the Land Rover, but also you can put things on it. You can have a cup of tea on it, or carry bales around on it, or...
It's a shame bull bars are banned in the UK.
It is, really. They were all the rage for years, weren't they? In fact, I remember...
Like the wrap-round one, like a classic Range Rover. That did look
big,
a bit awkward.
Chunky, tubular... I really like them, though. Big, chunky, tubular bull bar with the smaller slats in between.
Yeah, slats, yeah.
And two massive 8-inch lights in the middle. That was when Land Rovers were proper, that was, Steve.
Yeah.
The Defender ones were the ones I liked. A proper Defender wraparound, genuine Land Rover, probably made by another company.
So I always liked the straight, like the Camel Trophy straight.
Did
ones.
Just the flat ones?
Yeah, I never liked them when they wrapped around the edges, around the corners.
Did you not?
No, wasn't okay. Keen.
Yeah, no, I think like bull bars need to make a comeback. Because I think you can get away with
it. Don't think pedestrians like that idea of it.
No,
much.
Probably not, but then you shouldn't be in the road, should you?
I always think, and this is a bit of a controversial thing to say, probably, but if you're going to get run over by a Defender, right, whether it has a bull bar or not,
you're going to have a bad time.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah.
I think bull bars had their day, and you don't actually need them in the UK. Although, round here, you do. There's signs up on the roads round here.
Yeah.
Beware of deer.
Oh, yeah. Signs. Oh, yeah.
We are overrun by them.
Where my
grandparents.
There's loads get killed at the side of the road. You think that's written off a car.
I've seen a Range Rover P38 completely obliterated by a deer near where my grandparents used to live in Hampshire. On a really quite fast-flowing road near their house. And this, what would have been probably nearly new Range Rover P38.
Okay.
Because the trouble is when you hit a deer, not to be too graphic, but you take the legs out and the body just comes through the windscreen.
It's really, really bad.
But yeah, bars are great. You should definitely buy bars.
Because what is the law now? You can fit one, can't you? But you can't.
Do you know
one.
What? I haven't looked up the legislation for a long time, but I think it's pre 1998 vehicles.
You
could have with one up to then, and now obviously you can't. I remember when the Discovery and Defender first came out with the foamy soft bull bars. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
A bars.
Yeah, I had one on my Discovery too. They're foamy.
Yeah, that's
it. Right. Yeah,
they're a nudge bar, aren't they? They're sort of a bit
still
of
an adds a little bit something.
Extra protection. They do look okay, but yeah, I did think when they first came about, like this is a far cry from the 2-inch tube that bolts directly to your chassis that you can just run things out of the way with.
Imagine if this legislation was in Australia. I presume that they can still have bull bars.
They have all sorts on theirs. Yeah, they've got. Big, obviously, winch bumpers are a totally different thing, but they often have like the tubular steps that go into bars that come around the wings and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But again, I don't know if there's a cutoff point for that or whether you can fit that to a new vehicle. If you're in Australia and you're listening, because we do have quite a few Australian listeners, what's the legislation on bull bars? Can you just merrily bolt bars to everything or do you have to be a bit more careful? We're learning so much.
Didn't think we'd end up talking about bull bars today, but yeah.
What's your stance on bush cables that go from the roof rack to the front? See, this is...
You see, they are known to be really dangerous.
I've never liked them.
No, I think that... I remember my mate Pete did it to one of these Land Rovers. He made his own and put them on there. I think if you were going through a lane or something like that, or you're off-road, that they, I don't think they should be fitted on the road.
No, 100%. I think if you're genuinely doing heavy off-roading in dense foliage, like the Camel Trophy, which had them.
But they should be removed the minute you go on the highway.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, they are really bad.
Yeah, they're not very good.
So that's my stance. There you go.
You'd end up with a few venison steaks if you hit a deer with them on, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we should change the subject, really.
Yeah, probably. It's getting a bit macabre, isn't it?
Yeah. Talking about steaks, is it dinner time? Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? I've decided to buy...
You spending money, no?
Gas barbecue.
Hey, see? Hashtag influence.
You've influenced me with your nomadic folding barbecue thing. I'm going to buy one.
Which one are you buying?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it enough yet, but I do want one for this year.
I think the nomadic's really nice. It's a little briefcase-y type thing.
Yeah.
Folds out and you've got two sides to cook on.
I agree with you.
But temperature regulated on both sides. Yeah, perhaps you should get something else.
Yeah. We can do a back-to-back test.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping to be a catering manager again at LRM Live. So
I'm hoping you're catering manager as well, because we saw us...
You don't eat halloumi, do you?
Not the way you cook, you know. Halloumi and live fluids, it's disgusting.
What a combination.
That works.
Charcoal's great, but I do think gas has a place as well, so I'm going to buy a gas one.
Mm.
Exciting.
Well, there you go.
The real question is, however... The 110 is at the point now where all my garage floor is totally covered in bits, wings and grills.
Yeah, proper Land Rover garage.
The bonnet and all the bits I've got for it. So, but because the welding's being done, it's at the maximum point of strippedness now. So everything from now, bits will be going back onto it.
Nice.
Right? Once it is MOT'd, once it's on the road, driven it around a bit, I'm not going to have a project on the go.
Hey, you have.
Oh, yeah. I've painted
it. You've... I don't know why you get that idea out of your head, mate.
Actually, that is a lie. I've got a project on the go with my friend's Series 2 that needs to be done for their wedding.
Yeah.
And yours. And
clearly, I'm not classed as a friend then.
You are, but yours,
a work colleague.
Yours isn't as urgent.
Mate, you asked. It is.
It's not urgent. It's been sat in your garage 4 years.
It's urgent now because I decided it is. What are you talking about then? You're not going to have a project.
I'm not going to have anything in loads of bits on my driveway, which is like alien to me.
Well, I can...
Maybe I'll just enjoy life, not spending money on a Land Rover constantly. Yeah, could do.
We do need to crack on, mate.
Yeah, I know. We'll get there. That Series 2's got to come first, though. I'm nervous about...
When's that wedding?
July.
Yeah.
because and the months that are going quickly and we've only just got it running. We haven't touched the brakes or the clutch or anything else. Still got gaping holes in the bulkhead. There's a lot of work to do on that. Actually, I'll put the video on the social media of us getting it starting off a bottle full of petrol and it backfiring through the carb and the bottle catching fire.
That was some sketchy.
That was some stuff. That was some yee-haw stuff. That was how we laugh. It does run nicely, though, considering it's been off the road 23 years.
Okay.
Makes the 110 look like a spring chicken.
Yeah.
There you go.
Your work hasn't finished yet anyway. You've got some coolant issues to resolve.
Yeah, that'll be fine. We'll get there. All good. But yeah, you'll hear about that in another podcast, I'm sure. But for now... Are we going to do social media shout-out?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Don't forget to follow Land Rover Monthly on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to the LRM YouTube channel. Don't forget also to follow Steve on Instagram, who is at Steve_Miller_automotive, and me at Land_Rover_Martin. God, that was seamless. That was slick. That was.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, find us on socials. Follow us.
Yeah.
Ask us questions. Share your projects. We love it.
Yes, we do. We love it indeed.
And we'll read out some more listeners' questions very soon.
I think we got through a good few listeners' questions today, didn't we?
Yeah. Do you know what? Do you know why I'm feeling sleepy? I just remembered.
Why?
Because we went to the pub, didn't we?
No.
Sounds really bad, no, but we did actually go to the pub.
Yeah, we did go to
this the pub. This is a really unusual thing to happen.
Still not on the same plane as a Pint of Petrol podcast, though, where they are in the pub every week. I think we need to aspire to that, really.
Yeah. Turn this into a pub.
That's a great idea. People would be down here all the time if this was a pub. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Thank you ever so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.